I have a 12-year-old son called Reuben. And Reuben, like many 12-year-old boys, loves play fighting with me, although the bigger he gets, the less play I feel it is. He loves punching me. He loves trying to hold me down. And when it hurts him a little bit, he seems to like it even more. One of the games that we play is he grabs hold of my hand and he tries to squeeze it till it hurts me. And he says, "Does it hurt yet? Does it hurt yet? Does it hurt yet?" And I don't care whether it does. He could be 55 doing it to me, and I'll turn around and say, "No, I'm not giving in to him." Here's the thing. At the moment, he's 12. So his hands are teeny tiny. But I know his hands and his muscles will grow. So there will come a point where I believe it's right that we stop playing that game. And his hands are too small to cause me any real harm. Even to the point where today, he then tried to dig his nails into me, which I think is cheating. To which he then got annoyed because, I said, "Mummy's cut my nails today, so it's not hurting me." And then he says, "Your turn." Yes. So I grab hold of his hand and I squeeze it and I move the knuckles around. I says, "Does it hurt?" He goes, "No, no, no." So if you're wondering how he broke his wrist, he didn't. That's not how he broke his wrist. And so I time it and let go before I feel I do any real damage to him, and at which point his mother would kill me. And the game starts all over again. I wonder if you know what it's like to be physically squeezed. Maybe you've breathed in as you've tried to do the top button up of your jeans. And you get the top button done up because you're not going up a size. And your whole stomach is squeezed to the point of death. At home we have many kitchen utensils. But one of them has been one of the best middle aisles of Aldi we have ever bought. Well, I bought it. And I brought it home and Jem said, "That's a waste of money, all, I don't know, £1.99 of it." Said, "We will never ever use it." This is what I bought. You put it in your ear and you know. It's a lemon squeezer. But it's a lemon squeezer with a lemon juice catcher, which is genius. I've seen the top bit many times before, but not the bottom bit. Because when you cut a lemon and you just squeeze it with your hand, you never get, as hard as you squeeze it, you never get it all out. The pips go in your mixture if you're making a lemon cake. And if you've got the slightest, even if it's a 25-year-old cut on your finger, that lemon juice will find it. Let me give you a demonstration of the Lemon Juicer 3000. It's not called that. I don't know what it's called. It's just brilliant. And no, you're not having it. You just squeeze it. Squeeze it. Squeeze it, get it nice and dry. You get quite a lot of juice in there. Keep going again. Squeeze it. Just realise I have got a cut on my hand as well. I can't squeeze any more because it's going to go everywhere. I didn't think this through, did I? Does anybody like drinking lemon juice? Anybody for a gin and tonic? I don't know. Let me put that by there. Squeezed till every last drop is out. Why am I telling you this? On this Maundy Thursday, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it is not a great evening. You may know that Gethsemane, do you ever find that a hard word to say? I always find that a hard word to say. You may know that Gethsemane means oil press. The place where Jesus prayed was an olive grove, and it is so apt, as this was the place where Jesus was squeezed to the limit. Luke's gospel tells us, squeezed to the limit where Jesus sweated clots, drops of blood. Now, while Jesus wasn't squeezed physically, he was squeezed from an emotional and spiritual point of view. In this passage, we see Jesus' three prayers of anguish and then his submission. We read in verse 38, he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Bear in mind that Jesus has just told Peter that he will deny him that night. This must have been so hard to share with Peter. Peter, you say you love me, but in a short time, you're going to say that you don't even know who I am. That in itself would not have only been crushing for Peter, but also for Jesus. And yet I find it fascinating that he still takes Peter with him. And then he asks Peter, James and John to watch and pray while Jesus goes aside on his own to pray. And in Jesus' prayer we see his anguish. He went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus falls to the ground in anguished prayer and asks his Father to take away what is about to happen. The cross and all that goes with it. To take it away from him. Yet there is still submission in the prayer of anguish, for Jesus adds, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And we know the story. Jesus, because Roger just read it to us, Jesus goes back and finds Peter, James and John asleep. Says to Peter, could you stay awake for just 1 hour? I find it interesting that after the Peter, you will deny me conversation, Peter, who says, no, I'll never deny you, I'll never deny you, instantaneously falls asleep. Immediately. It's as if he's forgotten what was only said to him a short time ago. And I wonder if there's something alluded to when Jesus says, Peter, couldn't you stay awake for just 1 hour? You said you would never deny me, and you can't even stay awake for 1 hour. Peter has pledged his undying love to Jesus and then immediately doesn't do what Jesus asks him to do. Friends, how often are we exactly the same? We pledge our undying love. We've no more. Our lives are completely changed. God, I won't give in to that temptation again. I will live my life for you completely as you want me to. And then within hours, we fall into the same trap and we do it all over again. Peter sees Jesus' anguish, and yet his own needs are more important. I see Jesus' leading in my life, and often my own needs are more important. We continue this account and read in the passage from Matthew, then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, my Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, then your will be done. It's a slight change. It's a slight progression on the first prayer of anguish. Because this time Jesus senses that the answer is a no. For he doesn't say, can this cup? He says, okay, if this cup cannot be taken away, he's kind of resigned himself to that. The first time he's asking, he's pleading, God, if it's possible, Father, please, please take this cup away. And the second time it's that, okay, I guess it can't be taken away. I have to drink it so your will be done. Father, I will do this, but you need to know I'm going to find this incredibly difficult. We continue, when he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. This is the final prayer of anguish, and the progression is that even though Jesus knows the answer, he prays it again. We may find, why does he do that? He knows now. He's done it twice. He knows what's going to happen. Why does he feel the need to pray this same prayer again? That it simply shows how much turmoil he is in. And it is through these prayers of anguish that Luke shows us how much Jesus is being squeezed. As I said earlier, for the medical practitioner tells us that Jesus is squeezed so much that he sweats, clots, drops of blood. And apparently, I'm not a medic, apparently under the most intense, stressful, where you're pressured and squeezed environments, that is medically possible. Friends, this is more than a little bit of angst. This is extreme pressure. It's a build-up of pressure. Do you remember the pressure cookers that were all the rage in the 70s and the 80s? But not so much now. It's the air fryer now, isn't it? You'd have this, Mum had a pressure cooker. You'd have this massive build-up of pressure that just at the right time had to be to release it. They're quite dangerous. Because if you didn't release the pressure, it was going to come out at some point, and it would take the house with it as well. Or at least the kitchen. They'd explode. Because whenever pressure is built up, at some point, it cannot be contained. It can only be contained for so long. I used to work at a Saturday job delivering milk. I was going to say I was a milkman, but I was a milk boy at the time, because I was only 14. And John the Milk, as we called him, my boss, John the Milk, and he would sell milk, eggs, cream, all that kind of stuff, and bottles of pop. And he would have bottles of pop stored in his garage. And there was one time of the year, and I can't remember the science now, so I can't remember whether it's in the winter or whether it's in the summer, but the pressure in these bottles of pop built up so much. He was sat in his house, and he just heard this explosion going off. He thought, what on earth is that? And he went into the garage, and there was just pop being flung everywhere around his garage. Because the build-up of pressure was so much. It would have been all right if he'd unscrewed the top. But it was so much that it just exploded. That's why Jesus sweats drops of blood. Because the pressure is built up so much, there's no release. It has to go somewhere. But it wasn't just the physical pain of the cross that was the pressure. It was the separation from his Father that Jesus knew was coming. Think about this for a moment. We had it this evening. We read in John chapter 1, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. It's a direct link to the creation story in Genesis, where we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus has always been with the Father. From before the beginning of time, it's not a case of we don't know how long they've been together, for they've always been together, the Son and the Father. They existed even before time was even created. They have always been before always was even a word. And now in this moment, in this place known as the oil press, Jesus realizes that not only is he going to die an awful death on a cross, but he's going to be separated from the Father for the first time ever. This is what causes him to sweat drops of blood. It's a huge pressure. It's pressure like we cannot even begin to understand. But as we reflect tonight, we must try to understand this. The extremeness of the pressure that Jesus was under, that he was experiencing, that he was feeling. And yet, he still obeyed and did what he needed to do, what the Father had set before him. Why? You're why. I'm why. He did it because of you. Not because you're massively special, although you may be. But because he looks upon you with a love that none of us can actually understand. We can look upon our child. If you've got children, if you remember when your child was born and the first time you held them in your arms and you had this overwhelming sense of love for them that was like you've never experienced that before. Or you've held a niece or a nephew or even a you just love them with everything. Now take that and times it by a number that there's not enough paper in the world to write that. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Because he loves you in a way that as human beings we cannot understand. That is the anguish that he experiences in the place that is known as the oil press. That he is going to be separated from the one that he has been with before the world was even created. For always. In that moment, him and the Father were not going, in one sense, to be one. They were going to be separate. But for Jesus, not your will, but mine. I will go through that because I love them. I love them. And in amongst all the anguish, the prayers of Jesus in the garden reveal his submission to his Father's will, which is absolute and resolute, regardless of what he's about to go through. Wow. What a prayer. This is. The author Amy Boucher Pye sums it up like this: because people sinned, someone has to pay the cost. Jesus willingly puts himself forward as the one to relieve us from the burden of our sins. He will endure the separation from the Father in order that we can all be reunited forever. Friends, Jesus prayed this prayer and he prayed it for you. So remember that as we now come to this bread and this cup. Remember it every time we come to this bread and this cup.
Remember this every time you question, should you give in to temptation? Friends, this prayer is too important for you to ever forget it. Jesus prayed it so we wouldn't have to. Jesus prayed it and he lived it because he loves us too much. As we come around the bread and cup, let's just close our eyes for a moment. He went on a little farther and bowed his head with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. The darkness deepens and the Lord grows troubled. Can we watch with him? Can we be the friends at his table who shared his bread and wine? Can we be the companions who journey with him to the end? Come. Let us worship. Let us watch. Let us give thanks for such great love. Lord Jesus, on this night when so much happened, this night when, after eating, you showed what true leadership, what true servanthood is as you washed your disciples' feet. On this night, as perfume was poured upon you. On this night, as the one who you knew would betray you, you allowed him to leave. On this night, as you prayed these prayers of anguish, but also had a heart of submission. On this night, without putting up any fight at all, you allowed your accusers to arrest you. On this night, we are stunned at your passion and your commitment towards us, Lord Jesus. You did not run from the darkness. You did not hide from your accusers. You did not fade into safe obscurity. You stepped with determination into the darkness, willingly giving yourself to whip and fist, to wood and nails. We praise you, gracious Lord, for what you were prepared to endure to reconcile us with your Father. We praise you, gracious Lord, for your words of forgiveness and the invitation to paradise. Forgive us that we allow ourselves to become too familiar with this story, that we take your suffering too lightly and receive your grace too cheaply. As we watch with you, while the darkness encroaches, let us remember what this journey means and count the cost of love all over again. Thank you, gracious Lord. Amen. Let's pray. That prayer that is in this series that we've been looking at, the first prayers of Jesus, when we prayed the Lord's Prayer and we worked through that. Let's pray that together now, and Martin will put the version that will say on the screen. our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
When the time arrived for Jesus to be lifted up, when all had been prepared and he shared his last meal with his friends, the Lord took the loaf, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples. When you eat the bread, remember me, this is my body broken for you. When the meal was finished, the Lord took the cup, blessed it, and gave it to the disciples. When you drink the wine, remember me, this is my blood shed for you. Now as we gather at this table, we eat bread, we drink from the cup, and we remember the one who died to bring us life. And we will keep doing this, keep sharing this meal until he returns again. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this sacred meal, for giving us your presence and your life, and for reminding us of your everlasting grace, which will be celebrated for all eternity. Amen.